from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. A majority of California Assembly members and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom are calling for the State Fish and Game Commission head, Dan Richards, to resign after he was photographed posing with a mountain lion he killed in Idaho. It's legal to kill mountain lions in that state, but not here in California, and critics say the head of the Wildlife Commission is sending the wrong message. Should Richards resign? Forum is up ahead after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Welcome to Forum, and we're going to talk this hour about, Dan Richards, president of the California Fish and Game Commission, who was originally appointed to the commission by then-Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's a Republican from San Diego and an outspoken hunter, and he's created a firestorm after being widely seen smiling, holding a puma he had shot and killed in Idaho, where it is completely legal to do. Hunting and killing pumas or mountain lions is illegal, however, in California, and stayed illegal in four-year increments since 1972 under then-Governor Ronald Reagan until it was permanently banned in California in 1990 under Proposition 117. Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom and 40 members of the California State Assembly and animal rights groups have called for Dan Richards to resign, while hunting groups have rallied to his defense. He has stated unequivocally that he has no intention of resigning or, for that matter, apologizing for what he has described as a legal hunt. And we take up the issue in this forum hour. Joining us is Paul Rogers, who is environmental reporter for the San Jose Mercury News, also managing editor of Quest, KQED Science and Environmental Series. And welcome, Paul.
Hi, Michael.
Hi to you. And we'll also say hi to Jennifer Fearing, who's joining us this morning from Sacramento. She is chief economist and California senior state director for the Humane Society of the United States. Welcome, Jennifer Fearing.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. We'll also say good morning to Bill Carr, Northern California editor of Western Outdoor News, who is with us this morning from Placerville. Welcome, Bill Carr.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you. And let's begin, Paul Rogers, with you. You've been covering this story. It is quite a firestorm. And the argument against what was done by Dan Richards, I went blank there for a moment. The argument against it is essentially that he's unfit to serve, and he's unfit to serve because he killed a mountain lion?
Well, what critics have said is that he didn't do anything illegal, but he showed, in their view, poor judgment because he represents all the people of California, and the majority of the voters twice have rejected sport hunting of mountain lions in California. So their argument is he isn't properly representing all the people. It was sort of an in-your-face act, and they want him to step down. I think there is a wider sort of interesting cultural and political issue here, and that's that most of the fish and game commissions in the United States, including California, for many years have been controlled by sportsmen and fishermen. And over time, there's some big trends in California that are making it more likely that environmental groups are going to say more about what rules to write on when you can hunt, when you can fish, what kind of species you can hunt and fish. And those basic trends in a nutshell are that there are fewer people hunting in California than ever before for a whole variety of reasons. There's also environmental groups and animal welfare groups putting ballot measures on the ballot. They've done five of them in the last 20 years, and all five have passed. And then finally, just the general decline of the Republican Party in California, you know, down to only 30% of registered voters now, and no constitutional officers, no senators, and so rural people who are often represented by Republicans don't have as many people to go to. So basically, the environmentalists are slowly winning on this long push, and it's causing occasional little firestorms like this when they pop up. I think Mr. Richards' days on the commission may very well be numbered.
Well, he's got 40 assembly members who signed on to actually saying he should resign. And I know, as you suggested, that this came about at least ostensibly because of the perception that he showed bad judgment and he mocked the will of California voters on 117. But how much of this really do you think is political? I mean, you've got a 3-2 commission. If he were knocked off the commission, it would change the whole configuration of that commission. You've got big votes coming up next year about shooting black bears and endangered species protection for wolves. A lot's at stake here.
Absolutely. And the vice president of the commission right now, Michael Sutton, is also the vice president of the Monterey Bay Aquarium. He's a former park ranger and a biologist. So he has a different background than Dan, who is a lifetime NRA member, a proud sportsman, big game hunter. And, you know, again, it's just a different cultural thing. Mike's from the coast. Dan is from inland areas. And as you say, there are a lot of big issues coming up. The irony here is that this isn't the first time this has happened. This happened just 5 years ago, but another commissioner, Judd Hanna, who was also a Republican, was forced off the commission by conservatives and by hunting groups when he supported banning lead bullets in condor habitat. There was such an outcry that something like 35 Republican members of the Assembly and Senate called for him to be removed, and Governor Schwarzenegger pressured him to step down. And he did, which opened the seat that Schwarzenegger then gave to Dan Richards. So, you know, we've seen both sides do this in the last few years.
Hey, so you've got a rural-urban divide, you've got a partisan divide, you've got an ideological divide, and the fact is that major decisions, and hunters and non-hunters perhaps, or hunters and environmentalists, major decisions are made by this five-member commission. In fact, they're going to be making decisions about marine life protection as well. So we've got not only things that have to do with hunting, but environmental questions. And I guess I get back to the original question that I was trying to imply from your perspective as a reporter following this story. How much do you think is actually political as opposed to the outrage over seeing this big, bagged, beautiful animal?
You know, I think it's more cultural than political. I honestly do. I mean, there was a press release that came out from the Humane Society when the photo was posted on Western Outdoor News' website at first. But my understanding is that the Humane Society wasn't rounding up votes in the Assembly or the Senate. It was actually Assemblyman Ben Hueso from Southern California, from San Diego, and also Jared Huffman from Marin County, another Assemblyman who saw the coverage and got upset and on their own initiative started this. Now, there's also a letter circulating right now in the state Senate from Fran Pavley's office, the state senator from Southern California, another Democrat. I expect that letter will be out within a day or two. It will probably have more than a majority of Senate signatures. So at that point, to me, the only question politically is when do they vote?
Well, by the way, you can see the letter that Dan Richards wrote. It is on our website. Just go to kqed.org/forum. Put on this segment. Paul Rogers, again, environment reporter for the San Jose Mercury News and managing editor of Quest, KQED Science and Environment Series. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
I want to go to Jennifer Fearing next, chief economist and California's senior state director of the Humane Society of the United States. Is this an attempt to essentially push more beyond a resignation? And I'm just going to ask you flatly, Jennifer Fearing, get rid of Dan Richards?
Absolutely not. You know, in fact, my energies and those of the Humane Society here in California for the last several months have been focused. I've put hundreds of hours into productive efforts as part of DFG's strategic vision process and in my role as a board member of Californians Turning in Poachers Foundation. Our efforts have been exclusively focused on trying to build support for kind of a sustainable way forward for Fish and Game to be able to do the wide range of tasks of the department and the commission are entrusted with. And so I had been, you know, minding my business and working with other stakeholders across the continuum, hunters and non-hunters alike, landowners and others, in efforts to try to build kind of a future where we might be able to enforce the laws of this great state and wildlife and really build a sustainable future. And so this caught us by surprise. Our reaction really was sort of triggered by seeing the photo itself and knowing, and then seeing in yesterday in Paul Rogers' story, confirmation that it was a blatant attempt to provoke a response from the conservation and animal welfare community. And that's what gives rise to the leadership question. Why is he trying to derail what are productive efforts that are proceeding here in California that are important?
But this was, you know, the argument, though, this was not in California. This was in Idaho where it's legal and where they do a lot of, shall we say, elimination of mountain lions, which are not endangered species but protected species, on the basis of scientific research. In fact, He dined on the mountain lion that night, he said publicly. And so the real question in many people's minds is, why are you going after him?
You know, I think it's highly inappropriate for him to choose to do such a provocative act, which he knows full well that the majority of Californians don't support. And frankly, the choice to post a photo of it and provoke a reaction in the face of what is our productive activities going on. Again, I think our reaction is not to say that there's anything illegal about it, but it was immoral. It showed bad judgment. And it was, I think, meant to provoke just this kind of fight. And that is not what California's wildlife protection community or our broader sort of conservation community needs right now. And frankly, I don't think it's serving hunters' interests well either.
What do you think about an argument like you see in Dan Walter's column this morning in the Sacramento Bee that says, if you're going to take this principle to its logical conclusion, you could say that people who catch endangered fish out of state or gamble in Reno, in other words, do things that are legal in another place that are illegal here in California, would be facing the same kind of censure and criticism. In fact, gay and lesbian marriages, let's say, in another state where as they're illegal here in California would come under that rubric, too.
You know, I'd say that holding public office is a privilege, and there are only five people in the entire state of California that get to set the wildlife protection agenda, the habitat protection agenda here in the state, and it is a privilege. And Richard ought to show respect for wildlife and the views of the citizens of California, even when he disagrees with them. In shooting the lion, especially in such an unsporting hunt, we feel he disrespected both.
Jennifer Fearing, again, is Chief Economist and California Senior State Director for the Humane Society of the United States. And Bill Carr is Northern California Editor with the Western Outdoor News. Well, let's talk about the photograph first that appeared in the Western Outdoor News. The purpose was, well, what? Not necessarily to provoke, as we're hearing?
Of course not. Western Outdoor News has been in publication for 57 years. We're called the Bible by hunting and fishing folk in California. We've got tens of thousands of readers in the state who enjoy the outdoor recreation that's available for sportsmen in California. We publish thousands and thousands of photos of hunters with the animals that they've shot, with the fish that they've caught, experiencing the joy of it, including thousands of photos of kids enjoying their first catch of a fish or their first animal that they've shot, which to them is a trophy. It's just ludicrous. The entire thing boils down to wildlife management that has to be left up to the hands of the professionals. The wildlife biologist in the Department of Fish and Game know best. They know the detail. They look at wildlife management through the eyes of a specialist and what needs to be done to maintain the balance of nature. The passage of Prop 117 totally whacked that balance out. We now have no management whatsoever of mountain lions except a depredation permit issue. By the time a depredation permit is issued for a mountain lion, they've already left their normal prey of deer, and they're now feeding on livestock or animals or pets. And it's just wrong. It has to be left up to the biologists, those people who have the scientific background, to know how wildlife species, what they need, what they require to survive in California.
Well, your concern is then, I'm taking implicitly from your statement, that you would like to overturn Proposition 117 or see it overturned.
Scientifically and biologically, it's a very wrong thing. Here's just a few of the states that allow hunting of mountain lions around us in the West: Alaska, Arizona, Colorado, Idaho, Montana, Nevada, New Mexico, North Dakota, Oregon, Utah, Washington, Wyoming. Every one of those wildlife managements from the state realizes the importance of having a balance. Mm-hmm. You have to have a balance in nature for nature to succeed. If you don't have a balance, one side goes crazy, the other side loses out. Right now, the deer populations in California are being decimated by a huge and growing mountain lion population that is totally unmanaged. Now, even there can't be anyone who would disagree with the fact that you can't have one side of the equation managed, the other side not managed.
What about the argument, though, that this is a state proposition, therefore it's the will of the people of California, and to have the head of this particular commission...
Absolutely, of course. That's why Dan didn't shoot a mountain lion in California.
No, but you know the argument. In other words, he's a public figure. He's the head of the State Fish and Game Commission. Therefore, he should be, to some extent, in concert with the will of the California people.
Well, what about the Assemblyman Ben Hueso, who signed the letter? He's been brought up for illegally tried to funnel $25,000 in campaign funds to a sibling. Thousands of dollars of taxpayer money were used to pay his sibling's former campaign workers. He requested $11,000 in taxpayer-funded bonuses to several staffers. And finally, Huesa was fined $17,000 by the Ethics Commission for raising money for a 2006 election that never took place. Should he not be ethical? Should he not also abide by the will of California, which certainly does not allow for ethical violations?
Well, Dan Richards did say in his letter, and again, you can see it on our website, that if ethical violations were what is really at stake here, you might wipe out the legislature. Rather wry comment, to be sure.
The Capitol would be empty.
Well, but let's go back to you, Jennifer Fearing. And by the way, let me give out the number, because I know there are many of you who would like to weigh in here, and I'd like to hear what you have to say, our public. And you can do that in a number of ways. You can call us on our toll-free number. We do welcome your calls, and you can bring forth any questions that you have, as well as comments. It's 866-733-6786 for your calls. And again, that's toll-free from wherever you're listening to us or however. 866-733-6786. And you can also send an email to forum@kqed.org or post questions or comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. Click on the segment or go to our Facebook page. And I'm just going to go back to you, Jennifer Fearing, to get some response from this. There's a bigger question here in terms of scientific controls that is being raised by Bill Carr, the idea that these mountain lions, these cougars, are preying upon even livestock and pets and the like, and there has to be control of that population?
Well, let me first defend Assemblymember Hueso, who has stood up on this on his own, is motivated by his own sort of visceral and personal response to what Dan Richards has done. And it doesn't surprise me, you know, that Bill Carr seeks to shoot the messenger here. But I think that diverts attention from the appropriate person that we're discussing, which is Mr. Richards acts. And, you know, it's interesting that you raise, Michael, about the question of whether the broader agenda here was political in nature with respect to changing the makeup of the commission. But hearing that litany of quote-unquote science from Mr. Carr about mountain lions certainly now puts to my mind whether or not actually the real agenda here is to bring back up this issue that the people of California have twice weighed in on. And by the way, in those elections, the science, all the arguments for and against mountain lion hunting have been aired fully in the public here in California. And we've repeatedly sent the message that we don't want to manage them in that way. It was 58% of the vote in 1996, which last settled this issue. And frankly, there is serious dispute about whether killing of predators, management of predators is necessary. Just looking at the DFG's website, there have been only 6 fatal encounters and 10 non-fatal encounters with mountain lions in California since 1890, none since June of 2007. And in fact, the number of depredation permits, which goes to the question of concern for livestock and others, has been on the decline for several years, and fewer than 100 permits were issued last year. So I think making a mountain out of a molehill, an attempt to distract from what this is really about, and that is whether Dan Richards is fit to lead wildlife policy issues in the state of California, and I would submit that he is not.
And you would submit just the opposite, Bill Carr?
Oh, of course. And I mean, it makes no sense whatsoever. Mountain out of a molehill. The fact that a man went on a legal hunt out of state is making a mountain out of a molehill. If you did that, we have thousands and thousands of hunters in California who go across state lines to hunt for various species in different states. It is not an uncommon thing, and it was picked up for a political issue, I believe. The Humane Society and a number of other environmental groups have been working on trying to get Dan Richards removed long before this issue came up. They used that as a focal point. That is what they're doing, and I'm afraid I have to disagree with Jennifer. This has been well planned by her and other environmental groups.
And Bill Carrigan is Northern California editor of the Western Outdoor News. I want to read some comments that are coming in, a lot of them, as you can imagine. Dan writes, the country's greatest conservationist and the founder of the National Park System was Teddy Roosevelt. He was the country's greatest big game hunter. Another comment writes, even the youngest Boy Scout knows that if you kill it, you eat it. Killing wildlife for the sake of just killing it is unacceptable and a terrible waste. Any individual in charge of protecting wildlife should know better. It shows he definitely is not fit for the job. Although, as I noted earlier, he did eat the meat of the game that he killed, the puma, that evening. Eric writes, I am not a hunter and support the ban on hunting mountain lions in California. I do, however, find this an outrageous waste of time and effort by a legislature completely out of touch with the state. Fix the real problems that the state has. And a comment on our website, hypocrisy is the greatest luxury, some say. Our politicians appoint corporate executives to serve as regulators of their own industries, from pharma to food to petroleum to mining to banking. And now this, a killer of mountain lions is in charge of protecting mountain lions. What a shameless country the USA has become. Another comment on our website, I am an oral surgeon practicing in Southern California, and like most Californians, I am not a hunter. It is frustrating to have the California Fish and Game Commission controlled by people like Daniel Richards, who has shown that he views the values of most Californians in contempt. I would like to see him resign or be removed. All five commissioners are hunters, all are white males over 50, and all are wealthy. I'm not sure that's true, but anyway, he goes on to say we should have diversity in this commission like we have in other state boards and commissions, and I believe the commission should be renamed the California Wildlife Management Commission with the mission to balance the values of Californians of all viewpoints. Mr. Richards is an anachronistic relic with no common sense, poor judgment, and absent leadership skills. People like him are why citizens lose faith in government. California deserves better. And Rick says, I can't believe this tempest in a teapot. These people are the tiny minority who took away foie gras. These are the people who throw paint on persons wearing fur coats. The rest of our country, everywhere between Sacramento and western New York City, would be astonished by this insanity. These are the weenies who would end all hunting if they could indeed. They would end the consumption of meat if they could get away with it. It is not going to happen. And by the way, I'm not a hunter, but I can't stand to hear this kind of far-left screeching. And another listener, Greg in San Leandro, writes, there are many facets of the situation regarding the biology and population data used to impose this deeply flawed ban that I hope someone on your program will address, but the hypocrisy of our elected officials is what I'll address. I would hope Gavin Newsom and the other legislators would never gamble in Las Vegas, smoke in a bar in Reno, or drive at the 80-mile-per-hour speed limit in parts of Utah due to their deep respect for the laws of our state. True to form, they only believe in reciprocity when it's regarding laws they have written. You can see the divide is very strong here, and so are the passions. And let's get some of your calls on, and we'll begin, Dick, with you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm just curious, without hunters and fishing folks in the United States for the last 100 years paying all the stamps and regulations and licenses, we wouldn't have any wildlife. And I wonder what Jennifer thinks. The Humane Society of the United States, they've tried to eliminate licensed pheasant hunting in New York successfully, Pennsylvania, I understand, and this or that. There's no hunters being trained. There's not going to be anybody, you know, carrying on these traditions. We wouldn't have any ducks or geese. We wouldn't have anything to hunt or fish if it hadn't been people paying for licenses. I'm wondering how she thinks we're going to fill that void by closing all these pheasant clubs and everything else.
All right. To you, Jennifer Fearing, please.
Sure. I'd just point out that there are many hunters who are members of the Humane Society of the United States. They support our efforts to oppose unsporting, unfair, inhumane forms of wildlife abuse, like trophy hunting and hunting with hounds. Our campaigns are focused on ending the worst wildlife abuses. And again, those are abuses that hunters and non-hunters alike can agree are unethical and inhumane.
Well, let me bring another caller on. Jenny, that's you. Hi.
Hi, Michael. Thank you for taking my call. What I wanted to point out to the discussion, and there was a very passionate discussion about 5 minutes ago about managing wildlife, and, you know, we have to be able to do all of that. And one thing that's getting left out is the habitat issue, is that the mountain lions would probably not be coming down and preying upon the pets and the humans if the developers would stop taking over their habitat, and the big outdoor wildlife adventurers would stop, you know, invading their territory.
Jenny, excuse me, we're coming up on a break. I'd like to get Bill Carter to respond to your...
I would love to address that fact. Wildlife habitat is not being impacted, hardly at all, where the wildlife lives. Placerville, here where I live, hasn't expanded at all. Auburn has not expanded at all. Lake Tahoe Basin has not expanded at all, and yet bears continue growing because they're not managed in Tahoe Basin. It's not a manage of habitat. Anyone who wants to find out how much habitat there is, just get up here in the Sierra, drive around, and take a look.
All right, we're going to have to take a break, but when we return, more of your calls and responses. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. You're listening to the Forum program on KQED Public Radio. I'm Michael Krasny. A majority of California Assembly members and Lieutenant Governor Gavin Newsom are calling for the head of the State Fish and Game Commission, Dan Richards, to resign after he was photographed posing with a mountain lion he killed in Idaho, and it's legal to kill mountain lions in that state, but not in California. And critics say that the head of the Wildlife Commission is sending the wrong message. We're taking up the issue of mountain lion hunting and whether Richards should resign. We spoke earlier with Paul Rogers, the environment reporter for the San Jose Mercury News and managing editor of Quest, KQED's Science and Environment series. And Jennifer Fearing is with us, chief economist and California's senior state director of the Humane Society of the United States, and Bill Carr, Northern California editor of the Western Outdoor News. You can join the program in a number of ways. You can join us at our toll-free number, which is 866-733-6786. We do welcome your phone calls. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org, or go to our website and post any questions or comments you have there. It's kqed.org/forum. Click on this segment or go to our Facebook page. I want to bring another voice into this, and that's retired appellate judge William Newsom, father of Gavin Newsom, also co-founder of the Mountain Lion Foundation. And Bill Newsom, good to have you with us. Welcome.
A pleasure to be here.
I guess I'd like your perspective on a couple of things that have come up in the course of this hour. All of the other states around us in the West, Bill Carr was pointing out, allow for the killing of mountain lions, the hunting of mountain lions, and a lot of it's done with scientific management, which he was pretty much touting as being superior to the mountain lions themselves and to conservation. So why defend this Prop 117 and the law against it, the ban against it here?
The popular will opposes sports hunting, trophy hunting, pardon me, of mountain lions. That passed in 1990, and it classified mountain lions in California as specially protected mammals. It banned the hunting of mountain lions for recreation purposes. And it's been challenged several times. Most recently, I think, by Prop 117, 197, which is a legislative initiative to repeal the ban on hunting.
Yeah, 117 was the actual ban. It's yeah.
197 was right. The legislature's attempt to repeal it, and that was defeated by 58%. I think 58%, and that was supported by. Prop 197 was supported by, you know, this, NRA, Safari Club International, had a lot of money behind it. But, you know, the repeal was defeated handily. And so I guess the gist of the argument against Richards right now is not that he committed any crime. What he did was perfectly legal. It just questions the, you know, judgment of the head of the Fish and Game Department in California, so to speak, flouting the will of people in general.
Would it be comparable, do you think, to say that a legislature should never gamble in Las Vegas or smoke in a bar in Reno? Some of our listeners is bringing up these kinds of things or drive it.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, should a person in California go to New Hampshire, where it's legal to marry a 13-year-old girl if you have parental consent, and get married there?
What about gay marriage, though? I mean, gay marriage is illegal in California. Does that mean if you get married in another state where it is legal, you're defying what you should be not doing?
I haven't figured that one out yet. Sorry.
I appreciate your candor, but it's been it's been something that's been raised, especially since your son, Gavin Newsom, has been so associated with gay and lesbian marriages.
Yeah.
And he's taken, you know, he's taken a strong public condemnation of Dan Richards.
Yeah, I understand why. I think Richards is an able person, competent, no doubt about it. But what he's done here, I think, it shows questionable judgment. That's my view.
Okay. I wanted to get your view, and I'm glad we got it.
Sure.
William Newsom, retired appellate judge and co-founder of the Mountain Lion Foundation, has been a longtime advocate for mountain lions. We're going to continue with your calls, and let's go to San Francisco. Isaac, you're on.
Yeah, Mike, thanks for taking my call. I'm not a hunter, and so excuse my ignorance. I'm just wondering what would make a difference eating mountain lion or not eating in the any difference in the shooting?
Well, it's a good question, and Bill Carr, I think it boils down to the fact that a lot of hunters believe you should eat the prey that you shoot.
There are some things that just aren't that good to eat, and yet still by simply by their numbers – are managed under the law. The law does require that you put the animal to use, whatever it is, and I think that's a very good law. As a matter of fact, 90% of my diet is made up of wild game and fish. It's pretty much what I live on because I don't like buying the hormonal-laced stuff in the stores. Mountain lion meat is very good. There's some great recipes out there. From what I understand, it's a very sweet meat and good tasting. But, for instance, you're allowed to shoot crows in California, and anyone who drives down any of the valley roads sees the thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of crows that are flying all over and also having a bad impact on the wildlife of California. And you're allowed to see, crow season is open right now, as a matter of fact. You're allowed to shoot 24 a day. And I do have heard of people eating crows, and
well, eat crow has a whole different meaning to me.
It sure does, by golly, and it just doesn't sound like a very edible kind of thing. But there are uses for it. You can grind it into sausage, and yes, it's required by law that you put game animals to use, and every sportsman that I know does.
Yeah, I've not fancied crow cuisine in my day, nor mountain lion. But what about this argument, Jennifer Fearing? Now, you're not... Jennifer Fearing of the Humane Society of the United States, you're not opposed in principle to hunting. You pretty much made that clear initially when we started this conversation. But should hunters do more ethical by consuming what they hunt?
Well, yes. I mean, I think to answer the caller-specific question, I think the reason that Dan went out of his way to mention that he ate the mountain lion for dinner was to offset the disdain that so many hunters and non-hunters have around the idea of taking animals simply as a trophy or in terms of sport hunting. I'm not entirely sure that the public's reaction to learning that one eats mountain lions, which is very rare that anyone would consider doing that. I'm not sure that admitting that, you know, helped strengthen his case or not, but I believe that he mentioned that to offset the sort of concern that people have around trophy hunting.
Here's John. John from Sonoma. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to comment that the actions of this guy just seem politically very not smart, but as a conservationist, environmentalist, and I'm a supporter of the Humane Society, I'm also a hiker at a camper at a rancher, and I just think that a lot of the mountain lion incidents are underreported. And for those of us who live in the rural North Bay, man, those things are creepy. If you've ever been within a few feet of one, those are killing machines, and, you know, they can be dangerous, and I, for one, am glad that we don't have grizzly bears around, too. So, you know, I'm a little conflicted about mountain lion hunting, but, you know, I think it's a valid topic to have as a conversation.
Well, we certainly expect and are vested in it being a valid topic, but Jennifer Fearing, let me go back to you on this. I mean, the argument is that mountain lions are preying on deer. I mean, I have a friend who calls deer rats with good PR because of all the rose bushes they eat and the like, but also preying on livestock and even pets, we heard from Bill Carr earlier. So why not control this population?
Well, I think that the fear that's getting expressed here, it reminds me, frankly, of conversations we had last year around sharks when discussing the shark fin ban. I think humans, you know, nature generally tends to our fears are really much greater than the actual risks associated with, you know, conflicts with predators like this. And, you know, I did a quick look of the DFG website, and, you know, it's what's true in California is that the population size of mountain lions is estimated to be, in fact, smaller than it was 10 years ago. And I think that, again, that our fears here, it's a normal human reaction, but the incidences with mountain lions who prefer to be sort of solitary and elusive really are more of are sort of irrational, but totally, I get it, reaction to confronting an animal that's capable of killing you. But the reality is that those incidences are very, very, very rare.
Well, Bill Carr, what about this inflated notion that Jennifer Fearing is telling us?
Well, it's nonsensical. The fact that she thinks mountain lions are lower numbers now than they were 10 years ago. In the 70s, there were an estimated 5,000 mountain lions in the state of California when the Department of Fish and Game made their last estimate and had to stop managing the species due to all these laws. Currently, mountain lions have babies. Mountain lions have phenomenal food sources. Mountain lions have been increasing in numbers for those 10 years. My guess is mountain lion population in California is more around 10 or 15,000. And I think the people in the rural areas that are seeing them walking down their streets and in their city limits probably would agree with me.
Well, what about the idea, though, that the fear of mountain lions is perhaps excessive? They are isolated creatures and they...
Barbara Schoner didn't have any fear of mountain lions when she was killed by one. Neither have any of the other people that have been attacked by mountain lions. And there have been hundreds more attacks by mountain lions than are reported by the Department of Fish and Game because of their criteria. They require a mountain lion to have physical contact with somebody. They need to have evidence to the fact that that person was attacked by a mountain lion. As a matter of fact, a turkey hunter just a few years ago was calling turkeys, heard a noise, turned around, and there was a mountain lion in the air in the middle of a leap attacking him. He shot it in midair. It fell dead at his feet 15 feet away, and that was not a mountain lion attack because there was no physical contact.
There are these stories, Jennifer Fearing, like the Barbara Shaner story. I don't know. You want to address those?
Well, again, I'm just looking at what's on the Department of Fish and Game's website. It says not a Humane Society number, and here's a quote. There are indications that mountain lion activity, such as depredation, attacks on people, and predation on prey populations, peaked in 1996 and then decreased somewhat and have remained stable for the past several years. They continue to estimate that there are 4,000 to 6,000 mountain lions in California.
And that's right on Fish and Game website, so people can go there and corroborate it. Well, let me go to more calls here. We've got Jan on from Berkeley. Jan, join us.
Thanks for the topic. I want a quick point, which is I'm tired of people we hire to watch over, whether it's industry or Fish and Game, being hypocritical. They should be advocates, strong advocates for their position. That being said, well, I also want to say I don't think that hunting is a good management of wildlife because wildlife in nature is managed by the culling of the weakest individuals in a species, whereas hunters will, if they can, go for the very best members of the species. And that's exactly the opposite of natural management. That being said, this guy is just one of thousands of politicians going around doing that. This is not his problem. We have to stop our officials from being hypocrites. But that's up to the voters.
Okay. That's a good, maybe pipe dream, but a good thought to put out there. Would that the citizens did rally more to stop hypocrisy or stop... But is this, from Bill Carr, from your standpoint, this isn't hypocrisy. This is just a guy who likes hunting going out and bagging some game, in this case a cougar.
Oh, absolutely. But first, I'd like to mention that Gavin Newsom's call for the resignation of Dan Richards is interesting because it's my understanding that his father, Bill Newsom, there is interested in a seat on the Fish and Game Commission.
Hadn't heard that, but you've put it out there, and so now it may become a meme for all we know.
Right. Well, anyway, absolutely. California and the United States are governed under the rule of law, and there were no laws broken by Dan Richards. Sportsmen like Richards, they were the first true environmentalists in this country. Just this year, sportsmen paid $90 million into the Department of Fish and Game budget. This past year. That supports game animals and non-game species alike, and you need, and so there's nothing wrong with hunting, absolutely nothing wrong with hunting.
Well, I think you and Jennifer Fearing are in agreement on that, are you?
Oh, no, not a bit. She is totally against hunting of any type, and her definition of trophy hunting, what is trophy hunting? Every hunt anyone goes on is a trophy hunt. For the first animal that a youngster shoots, that's a trophy. The first deer, a forked horn, a little animal that a guy shoots, that's, or a lady shoots, that's a trophy. This terminology that they use as trophy is trying to get people to believe that some bloodthirsty person is running around blowing things up, killing them, and leaving them on the ground. Totally irrelevant. There is no such thing as a trophy hunter. Of course, we like to improve our own hunting abilities. I do. I don't want to go out and shoot a little tiny forked horn that's only a year old. To me, that's not fair to the animal, and I'll say that right out. I prefer shooting a bigger animal, a more mature animal, something that's more difficult to hunt. But trophy hunting, I'm sorry, there is no such thing. It's a terminology used by animal rights activists like the Humane Society.
Well, we're going to hear from interfering on that, I can't help thinking about that famous story. If you don't know it, you may want to read it. I'm talking to my listeners now. The Most Dangerous Game, which is all about trophy hunting on the part of a Cossack who lives on an island. It's a fanciful tale about a hunter who gets waylaid on that island as being the most dangerous game, turns out to be a human being who's very smart and shrewd. Jennifer Fearing, I got the impression that you are not across the board opposed to hunting. Am I wrong?
Again, I'll reiterate that we want to see an end to the most egregious and inhumane abuses, and that includes hunting animals strictly to be a trophy or as a target, hunting endangered and threatened species, hunting that causes undue suffering. I mean, that's the focus of our work. And, you know, again, to bring this back to the Richards issue, you know, he is responsible for leading the state's Wildlife Policy Setting Commission, and he knew what he was doing when he went hunting. It was granted a legal hunt, and he knew who he was pandering to when he went public with the bragging. And honestly, he has a special responsibility as president of our Fish and Game Commission to show respect for wildlife and also for the views of Californians, diverse as we all are. And we firmly believe that engaging in this hunt and then posting a photo was at best politically tone deaf, but at worst, it was a cynical attempt to further divide and provoke us at a time when California wildlife and habitats cannot afford it.
And what about Bill Carr's argument that there's cynicism in the semantics of talking about trophy hunting, that it's a way to pretty much galvanize people against hunting?
Well, he spoke out of both sides of his mouth just now. He said every hunt is a trophy, and then he said there's no such thing as trophy hunting. We would explicitly define it as animals that are killed simply for sport or for target practice, simply to be taxidermed and hoisted in a museum or in someone's living room, but not shot for subsistence reasons or reasons associated with consumption. There is an explicit difference.
I want to go to more callers. Juan Carlos joining us as our next caller. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir, you're on the air, please.
Yeah, so I just wanted to make the comment that Mr. Bill Carr made us to mountain lion populations and deer populations. I'm the head of education at WildCare here in San Rafael and education member for Felidae, Wildcat Conservation and Education Group. And the assumption that mountain lions are going out and the deer are running out and hunting livestock, that's just a fallacy. Is when actually the opposite is true for mouse and mountain lion populations here in North America, where you have a deer population that is exploding, and killing mountain lions just doesn't really help the problem with mountain lion populations. So I just want to point out to that fallacy in terms of biology and population dynamics. And it is, I feel it's very immoral for the president of the Wildlife Commission to go and post this photo. As a Californian, I really don't support him being in that same position, and he should resign.
Well, I want to ask Bill Carr about what you call a fallacy. Bill Carr?
I'm not sure I understood what he was saying.
I think he was essentially pointing out that you're wrong about mountain lions preying on the deer population to such a great extent.
Well, then he's not up to speed on what mountain lions eat. Their primary prey species is deer. They kill about one deer a week. That's about 52 deer a year by my addition, and that applies to every mountain lion that lives. And when they run out of deer, they start eating other things like livestock, your pets, your dogs, your cats, and even threaten human beings. So I don't know where he's getting his figures. They kill lots of – that's why all of these other states have proper wildlife management policies and the hunting of mountain lion is allowed so they can maintain balances within the ecological system.
Let me thank the caller. I want to go to more of your calls. Here's a comment on the website. Gambling is not illegal in California. Well, not generally, but he says a more pertinent question is, would the head of Child Protective Services be fired for having sex with a 13-year-old girl in Japan where the age of consent is 13? Another listener writes, I am so angered that anyone would attempt to justify the killing of any mountain lion. Oh, please, a balance of wildlife. The head of the commission should be ostracized. I am ready to march the streets because of this. It's time for people to step up and support the animals. That's from a listener named Tara. And let me go to more of your calls. And we go to John. Good morning. You're on.
Hello?
Yes, sir. If this
yes, hi.
John, go ahead.
Hi. Yeah, I just can't believe the nonsense I'm hearing from Mr. Carr here. I think the larger issue here is that we need to, if it's true our California Game Board is stacked by all hunters, then we need to change that because most Californians would like to see their wildlife alive and not dead. So I urge everyone to call our governor and make some changes to our game board.
Well, I think I have to correct something you said there, John. It's not all hunters on the board. It's about evenly split.
No, they are all hunters, Michael.
No, I thought you said, Michael, that they were all hunters on the game board.
Jennifer said that. Jennifer, is that a fact?
It is true. I personally don't believe that being a hunter on the board necessarily means you're incapable of rendering a conservationist supportive view. In fact, I see it happen with regularity with this commission. But he's right that all of the members of the commission now hunt, and that stands in stark contrast to the California population, where less than 1% hunts.
There is a divide, though, on this commission. I mean, it's a half Democrat, half Republican commission. Some stronger, much stronger on environmental issues. Isn't that correct? I'm stating it rhetorically.
Very definitely. Can I speak in here?
Yeah, go ahead, Bill Carr.
Yeah, Michael Sutton may have pulled the trigger once in his life, but he is anything but an avid hunter. It's not balanced at all, as a matter of fact. The two of the commissioners believe in the scientific management of wildlife for the benefit of all species, and two of them don't. It's that long and short.
Yeah, I was under the impression it was pretty divided, too, which means that a 3-2 vote really carries the day. And let me thank the caller. And right now we're going to go to another of your calls. Mark, hi, you're on.
Hey, I live in Santa Cruz, Scotts Valley area, and I've had the opportunity to see a mountain lion cross 17 once. And I've also had one in my backyard that had to call the game warden on to remove the carcass of a deer. And I don't really have a problem with mountain lions being around. I don't think there's a problem with killing them, I guess, per se, if they're an endangerment to people. But I think a bigger problem, at least within the Santa Cruz County, is we have too many deer, and that's what's bringing around mountain lions. So, you know, you get six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. These animals have to live, and they have an innate way of thinking of what they're going to do. And we're humans that have moved into their territory and now expecting them to live by our rules. So, you know, to the lady who was speaking about not killing animals, what are you going to do if you're living around the animals and they're threatening, or they're, you know, at least for some of the animals, a prey? You've got to do something.
What do you suggest along those lines, Jennifer Fearing?
Well, already under the laws of this state, you can apply for a depredation permit. So if there are specific animals who are coming into too close a contact with humans, it's possible to get a depredation permit from the Department of Fish and Game and take that animal.
And anything wrong with that, Bill Carr?
Well, of course, as I mentioned earlier, when a depredation permit is issued, the mountain lion is already depredating on livestock or threatening humans. That means that lion has given up on trying to feed its natural prey, which are deer, because they've already decimated the numbers of deer that are available to them within their habitat area. So the depredation permit is trying to take care of a problem after it's already occurred.
And we go to more of your calls. Jeff, thanks for waiting. Join us. You're on Forum. Good morning.
Good morning. I just want to make a comment about the where this all started, and it goes back 25 years, is with the dramatic decrease in the eastern mule deer population of all the true mule deer in the state have just plummeted. And it's just like, you know, everybody's been speaking about, it's a way to bring everything back in harmony to the new population levels. Because farmers have taken up, you know, we've taken up all the low ranch lands, the winter grounds, and the predators really work the hillsides in these winter months and just decimate these bighorn sheep and mule deer herds. And what I would like to see is just a compromise on all this. And it's I think we can work it out, but we got to get this, I hate to say it, the Disneyland view of life about everything. And there's a reality out there, and you should listen to the biologists. They're the ones that can really explain this in better detail.
What do you envision as a compromise, Jeff?
Well, it's just more of what the fish and game's trying to do is get money to help support their programs through these hunts. They can do it other ways, which costs money. You know, you can go out and neuter them. You can do these other kind of things I'm not real familiar with, but I've heard about. But I think it's about funds as well. They're just trying to get money in, and maybe this isn't a politically correct way of doing it, but the animals here that are really suffering are the mule deer herds throughout the western United States, And that being said, the wolves have just decimated the mule deer herds all up through the Northwest. And I am a hunter, and I do eat venison. My kids love it, and we grew up on it. And my grandmother, you know, it's a tradition. This is a Western tradition that's going away. And I prefer it over all this hormone-raised beef. In fact, I raise cows, too, and we eat, you know, organic beef. But it's a lost thing that I don't think the modern society and the urban society really understands. There is a harmony to be had in with the environment, and it's just kind of getting lost in the, you know, the tree hugger thing, so to speak. It's kind of rude to say it that way, but it's the yin and yang. It's just a tug of war.
Well, I appreciate your calling, and I thank you for that, Jeff. And I wanted to mention for the benefit of listeners that the Fish and Game Commission will be meeting March 7th in Riverside. This has been somewhat of a firestorm. I'm not sure it's going to go away, but in the meantime, let's get some more of your calls on. Joe, you're on. Good morning.
Hi. I think it's great that people are talking about wildlife conservation and creating more of a debate and a conversation about it. I just think it's and I'm really liberal, and I think that government officials should be held accountable for their actions and to the full extent that they can be. But I think it's really a witch hunt to go after Dan Richards for something that he did in Idaho, which is completely legal. And if he is an avid hunter, he probably is somebody who does care deeply about conservation and keeping the wildlife in a healthy population. And just because he decides to go hunting and bagged a lion and posted a picture of it doesn't make him incapable or the wrong person for the job that he has. Obviously, he got the job because he's somebody who's very capable. And even Gavin's father commented on that. And I think it's really shameful that people are using this for what I see as a completely different, maybe tangential, but a different agenda.
Well, let me say once again that you can see the letter. It's on our website, and in it, he says, I'm not going to apologize for a legal hunt, but he also says he's confident of the facts, his public service on behalf of California and its wildlife, fish and game, and also took a shot at the legislature, saying that they underfund what needs to be funded to keep things going here. Caitlin writes, as an ecologist, I think it's absurd that wildlife management can be determined by the proposition system. Why not let the scientists at Fish and Game do their job and determine how to manage our ecosystems based on science, not soft-hearted love of large, charismatic animals? Well, this is a topic that obviously we will be looking at again in probably some different forms, but you can make your own decision about whether Dan Richards should resign. I'm glad to have had the input from Paul Rogers, who joined us earlier, and from Judge Newsom, who joined us after the half hour. And thanks again to Jennifer Fearing from the Humane Society and Bill Carr from Western Outdoor News, who joined us for the hour. And thanks to you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you, and we appreciate your listenership. I want to also thank our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Kevin Guillory and Judy Campbell. Our engineer is Danny Bringer, and our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.